Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
Am well. How are you?
I stink. I do.
I'm glad we don't have smell-o-vision.
Oh, but smell of that would be the worst. Oh my goodness. At this stage, I don't know which is worse. We've had skunk smell for a week and a half now, and then 4 days ago, maintenance came and they went under and they put 10 boxes of mothballs under our house. So now everything smells and tastes like mothballs. Like my mocha yesterday afternoon, every time I took a sip, it was mothball. And I'm like, bring back skunk.
Terrible. Bring back skunk. Wow, that's really bad.
I've referred to it as skunkageddon, and I'm ready to move.
Oh, that is terrible.
And
I
it will
am
be
so
funny.
sorry.
It will be funny when it's over. I'm like finding the humor in the middle of it. Well, actually, we found a lot of humor, but it's juvenile humor that we can't share
Oh,
with anybody.
that's hilarious. I love that. I'll bet in the midst of all that stink, you could use something sweet, couldn't you?
Oh, could I ever?
Psalm 19 says that the law of the Lord is sweeter than honey. And that's what we're talking about today, God's word. Ready to switch from stinky to sweet?
Oh my goodness, let's do it. This is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, good girls breaking bad rules.
Today, we're reflecting on what we learned from our conversation with Denise Hughes, author of the Word Writers Inductive Bible Study series.
I'm going to warn you right now, I'm going to be complaining about my handwriting.
Well, I've got my teacher's red pen ready. Just kidding. Thank goodness God lets us focus on His words and doesn't grade us on the neatness of ours.
Amen. So the reader struggle that we really wanted to focus on, I want to go ahead and read the whole thing because I think it's so reflective of how so many women feel. She said, "I have been a Christian since I was little, gone to church all my life. I've come through some severe emotional hard times in the last few years to the point of extreme fear of conflict. I can't handle when people have different opinions, and I've kept a lot inside. I know I have scars that need dealing with to reconnect me to my Savior and my family. On the outside, I'm busy and serving Jesus, but on the inside, I long to reconnect with God. So, how do I truly know Him and see Him working in me? How do I know His presence and especially the assurance that I have a relationship with Him? I know all the facts that I'm nothing on my own, but all my righteousness comes from Christ. I so long to make it real in my heart and break me free from the bondage I live in. Into the abundant joy and assurance he has for me."
It's painful to hear, but it's beautiful too, that it's the cry of our hearts that we want to know God. And He created us that way, that we want to know Him. And then I love it because He is the one who always reaches out first. A key verse that Denise gave us that we didn't really get to in the interview is Luke 5:4. And it's talking about Jesus. When he fin had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And this was one of his first meetings with Simon, who later became Peter, and his brother. They had been out fishing, they hadn't caught anything. And Jesus said, "Go out again, go out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And we know that the end of the story was they had this enormous catch. And it's such a picture of what Jesus calls us to, that He calls us to deeper things, deeper places with Him. And in that, there's abundance.
When I re-listened to our interview with Denise, I just felt myself exhaling and longing to linger in deeper places. So, talk about what this has looked like for you when you feel like you've been in deeper waters.
One of my first memories of doing something that Denise talked a lot about, which is writing God's word, was I'm thinking I was probably about fifth grade. I had two closets in my bedroom when I was growing up. So every once in a while, my mom would let me take one of the closets and make it into a hideout. So
Ooh.
I had, all my stuff, like a hideout in the bottom of my closet. But I remember somehow that I was in that closet. I have a picture of myself that in there with pillows and blankets and a light. And I ran across 1 Corinthians 13 for the first time.
Uh-huh.
In my childhood. And I just thought that those were the most beautiful words that I had ever read. And so I remember writing out 1 Corinthians 13 in my fifth grade handwriting into a journal. I don't think I have it anymore, but I have such a clear picture of that. And it just brought such peace and joy into my heart just to write those words.
Boy, I love that picture of you in a closet as a hideout. Now, okay, as far as writing, did you put big circles over your eyes or did you put big hearts over your eyes when you were in fifth grade?
I probably did.
So you had never encountered it even at church before, or, I mean, this was your first recognition of it,
yes.
Right?
Had never made an impact before in a way that was memorable. That time was
so now
just,
when you encounter it, does it remind you of that or kind of take you back?
Every time.
Wow.
Every time. God's word is so powerful. And it's interesting this because, you know, both of us are brain science geeks. Yay. And so this whole idea of writing things out by hand, there's a lot of research out now about how students that take notes by hand have better memorization or remembrance of what they're learning than those who are typing out notes on their computers. There's a lot of research out. So God has wired our brains. He created us in a way that somehow this writing things out by hand connects with our brains and I believe our hearts.
You know, one of the things Denise said that just struck me, and I've been thinking about it ever since, the more we read God's word, the more we learn about who God is. And then a clear view of God results in a clear view of who we are. That, more than probably anything else she said, made me think, I need to try this. The goal is this immersive lingering, where part of the message is to ourselves, but to God, that we are thrilled to just take this time with Him, rather than the efficiency that the perfectionist so easily falls into.
Yes. Well, the slowing down of it, I think, is really key. And that's what writing things out by hand does, is it slows things down. I remember years ago at the end of one of Louis Giglio's books, he has a Bible study method that you study a verse. You ask God to give you a verse and you study that verse one word at a time.
Wow.
So you spend a whole day on a word. And I really thought, that is crazy. Like, what would you do with the word and? But he gave an example, of course. He set a sample in the chapter. It was amazing. And what God showed him about the word and.
Yeah.
So I think slowing down is really the key component that you're talking about.
Yeah. And you're reminding me of the first time a Bible teacher challenged me to spend 2 hours studying a chapter of God's word and, you know, showed us how to use concordances. Back then, they were actual books that we pulled out. There was no searching anything on the internet. And I remember going into it. I was in high school. I was probably a freshman in high school. And I remember going into it thinking how boring this was going to be. And I just got lost in it. I just got lost. And you know, I don't remember if – I know I went over 2 hours. And I don't remember how long I took. But I remember just kind of slowly coming out of it, feeling like I had been transported someplace else where time had stood still. And it ministered to my mind, for sure, but also to my heart, and that I'd had realizations I knew I wouldn't have had any other way. And part of it was the good stuff happened like an hour or two in.
Well, and it's so interesting that God's word really is alive and active. It is an alive entity. And what you described in these long sessions and just becoming so immersed and so connected to God, it sounds like you said you are transported to someplace else. But it can happen in an instant, too. One of my favorite stories from my last trip to India was we were partnering with Mission India. One of the beautiful things that they do in their literacy classes is that they have scripture from the very first page of their curriculum. So these students are introduced to God's word from the first day they're in class as it's introduced as wise sayings. So it's a lot of proverbs and things at the beginning. Well, this woman was telling us her testimony of how she had come to know the Lord. And what she said is that every day from the very first day, when the teacher would share this wise saying, mm-hmm. otherwise known as scripture, that she would have this peace wash over her that she had never experienced before. Finally, after weeks of this, she went to a pastor who was kind of the administrator for the class. And she said, every day when the wise saying is read, this peace just washes over me. Why? What is happening? And he was able to tell her that those were God's words and that and share the gospel with her. And she received Christ. Before that, she had not even known that those were God's words, but it was alive.
Wow,
and that
absolutely.
Was the effect that it had on her. I was really taken with that story.
Oh, absolutely. It sounds like she was incredibly receptive. And
yes.
she didn't need time to drop barriers or slow down or get to the point that she could hear. Because, you know, one of the things I realize is God is always speaking and God's word is all. It's that I can't hear. I personally need the time to slow down and quit. I was going to say, quit allowing the noise around me. No, it's always the noise within me. It's that I'm so busy chattering. Ooh. It's the inner chatter that needs to for me to quiet down. And then I don't even think God turns up his volume, is that I'm turning down the volume. And I'm theorizing that just the act of slowly doing the handwriting of God's word is probably going to be a brain trigger to dial down that internal noise so that I can finally hear what God's been speaking all along, because I'm convinced that God is never far away. I don't believe that God goes silent on me or holds out on me. It's that I'm too busy being a chicken with her head cut off, running around elsewhere, expecting him to join me. And he doesn't promise that part. I believe he stays put, you know, where he's called me to be. And the closer I get to that, the easier it is going to be for me to hear him.
Yeah.
You had some insights on the whole idea of creativity and creation.
I was so encouraged to hear Denise talk about all these different ways of studying the Bible. I always call myself a rebel rule follower because I am a rule follower at heart, unless I decide your rules are stupid. And then that's when the rebel thing comes in. Yeah, awesome.
This explains so much about our friendship.
But when Denise started talking about all these different ways we can study the Bible, that we can write God's word, that we can journal based on God's word, that we can create art based on God's word, it just spoke to my heart of the freedom that God has been trying to instill in me in the last, I'd say, decade or so, where before I always wanted to approach God. It was about how do I do this right?
Oh, yeah.
You know? So I'd follow your formula, and then I'd follow somebody else's formula, and then I'd follow somebody else's formula.
Oh, no. I didn't just want to do it right. I wanted to do it better than everybody else.
Perfectly and better than you.
That's right. Great. That's
wow.
right. In my bubble of better than thou.
Everybody's going to stop listening to us now. We're horrible. Anyway.
We have to laugh at it because otherwise we'll be crying. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But when you think about what God's word is, his scripture, you go back to Genesis and think about what his original words were and what they did. They were creative words. They were transforming words. They were so powerful that they brought things into existence that hadn't been there before. And I just thought, if we would engage with God's word and think of it as a type of creative outlet, how powerful that would be, rather than just, okay, checking this off my list this morning, that we brought that creativity in our own personality even to the process.
Yeah.
There's a lot of grace in that. I like that.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, this morning I was studying a particular several chapters in 1 Samuel. I won't go into the details because they're not vital here. And I ended up with several questions that I'd never asked before. And of course, you know me, that's got me really excited. And then I found that my first reaction was to go to Facebook to crowdsource. And I'm like, no, I don't want to know anybody else's thoughts right now. I want to wrestle with this. I want to see, you know, over the days and weeks, because it's not something I need to have answered immediately. It was just a question that I'd never thought of before. And so it's as if re-encountering God's word created this curiosity and this question in me. And then I found myself about to text my husband because he's a systematic theologian and he would have the answer. And I'm like, you know, I will do that. I will talk to him. I will probably put it out on Facebook at some point. But right now, I don't need the quick and easy answer. I need to sit in this question. I need to explore and allow God to speak to me about it before I, you know, because as soon as I get an answer, then all those little creative avenues are going to shut down.
Yes.
So I love that. You know, we think of God speaking and creating during the week of creation. I had not thought of reading his word being a recreative act each time we encounter it. That's exciting.
Well, even you saying that has made my brain ping to a new challenge for me. I have been seeing all this art that people are doing in their Bibles. I'm so jealous of that. I have not one artistic bone like that in my body.
Me
not
either.
One. And both my kids do. I'm like, where did that come from? And I'm really kind of jealous of it. But what I have to realize is God has, I used to say, I'm not a creative person. And I've stopped saying that because we are all created in God's image and he is a creative God. So we are all creative. I realized that my perfectionism shut down my creativity for a long, long time. I need to ask God, you know, how can I be creative with your word? I love to write. I used to write poetry when I was less critical of myself. I probably may need to unleash some poetry on the world, you know.
You do. Have you ever done found poems? Found poetry?
I haven't.
Oh my goodness. It's the best thing in the world. Do you know what a found poem is?
No.
It is poetry that even recovering perfectionists can do. Because what it is you choose a work of literature and a section of it, and you create a poem using words that you found in that piece. And so you could do a found poem out of a psalm or an entire chapter of scripture, and just you take the words and the phrases that jump out at you and then you use them to create your poem. So it's like you've been given the mix to make this amazing cake. And of course you can use other words. You're not restricted to it.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you've gone through and studied and done some highlighting or annotating, you can just pull those words and phrases and then just see in prayer and processing how it comes out into a poem. So it's fun.
Oh, that's beautiful. I might have to try it. I used to be the haiku queen. Yeah.
You could do things in just a few. Never mind. That's not very nice of me. I'm vastly impressed. I'm vastly impressed. Listening to Denise reminded me of listening to Cindy Boltema. They both have this profound joy about God's word. You can tell it's their lifeline.
Oh, yes. I want to pray for that in me. What they have been doing is mentoring us, inspiring us to go deeper into God's word. I want to be that woman who is the mentor that inspires other women to go deeper into God's word, to dig in there and go deeper with him.
I'm just going to confess what comes to my mind. My natural urge is I want to be seen as that kind of woman. I want to look good on the outside. And it almost feels like too much to ask that I actually have the joy, that I actually experience that. That almost seems like too much to ask. Maybe that's why I've settled for the external for so long, because that seems to be as good as I can get. You know, when the woman comes to Christ and asks for something from him, and he says basically that the dogs don't eat from the table, and she says, but they lick up the crumbs underneath. I've always felt grateful for crumbs. I really have. I'm like, I've always been like, no, I don't need to sit at the table. I'm good on the ground. As long as there's crumbs, I'm good. And so to actually pray, to have that joy, not so I can look good, but to just actually have it for myself. And of course, it'll naturally spread after that. I got to think about that. It almost feels like too much to ask for. But after our conversations with Denise and with Cindy and with Emily, I feel like I can. I feel like I have permission to say I want that kind of joy. You pulled out from these episodes a great bad rule and then a great fact we can focus on instead.
So the bad rule is it's my duty to study God's word and share it with others. But we can change that whole mindset with one word by saying it's my delight to study God's word and share it with others.
I love that because, you know, for me, I have to admit that the grit part of these two episodes has been just this feeling of obligation and the inconvenience of the time. I'm going to muscle past the gag reflex and I'm going to go ahead and buckle down and read God's word. It's almost been my attitude, similar to my attitude to Sabbath, which we talked about with Kathy. And you brought up what a gift it is. It's not an inconvenience. It's a gift. So instead of being a duty, it's a delight. Head over to gritandgracegirls.com/episode48.
You'll find links to this week's Digging Deeper download, Bible verse art, and transcript.
If you enjoyed episode 48 of Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, would you share it with your friends? You'll find super easy share buttons on the website for every single episode.
Be sure to join us next week when we'll be talking with Holly Girth, author of You're Already Amazing.
For today, grow your grit. Embrace God's grace. And when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and break it. I'll tell you the reason I don't do the Bible art. I mean, because however bad you think you are, I'm 10 times worse, okay? If we're going to have a competition, I'm not the best of the best. I'm going to be the worst of the worst. But here's what slays me is the women who they'll do Bible art and they'll say, oh, this is so terrible, but I felt moved to share it anyways. And it, you know, it looks like it belongs in a museum. And I'm like, if that's terrible, then ain't no way I'm going to touch it. But I'll wait for, I'll let you go first, okay? You can go first on the Bible art.